John Horton, you come preach for us at this time.
Thank you, Pastor.
Well, good morning. It's an honor to be with you here. This conference has been great. I love with my family and I, we love coming to Landmark Baptist Church Missions Conference. You know, people like going where they feel loved. You know, how many of you can honestly say, I hate being loved? That's just not normal. People love to be loved. And, you know, folks, we know that this church loves missionaries. And we know this church loves us. And we love you. And the great thing about it is what we have in common is God's love.
Amen.
He is who makes us love because we love because He loved us first. Amen. That's exactly right. This conference has been great. And I encourage you, Lord Terry is coming next year, to even get more involved in your missions conference because it is the heartbeat of God. It is why this church is here. And I am looking forward to tonight, to real Baptist fellowship. Amen. With each other and around the table. Amen. This conferences have been really, really good. On behalf of my family and I, we want to thank you so very much for your faithful prayers and support through the years. We could tell you story after story of things that have happened in our lives, and it coincided at that moment when people were praying. And we know that this church is praying for us. For those of you who may not know her, this is my lovely girlfriend and bride, wife, Isabel, and she makes me look good, so I take her around with me everywhere I go. And unfortunately, we can't have our whole family here, but they are in church serving God, and so we love serving God in the country of Brazil. We are there for you. I'm excited for you as well. You know, I love this man over here. And, you know, our wish is that he could be around forever, you know. But we all have this thing about getting older. I don't know what it is. We all have to pass the torch on. And I can't think of a better man than that one over there. And so I am so excited for you that soon the torch will be passed on to Brother Destry. And one of these days, I'm going to have to pass the torch on to someone, and I wish it would be one of you to surrender to God's will and go down there and serve God as a missionary in Brazil. The question is, who will you pass the torch on to? We all have to, amen? How many of you have ever heard of the phrase, to be or not to be? We've all heard that, right? To be or not to be is the opening phrase of a soliloquy in the nunnery scene of William Shakespeare's play Hamlet. In the speech, the despondent Prince Hamlet contemplates death and suicide while waiting for Ophelia, the love of his life. And so he says, to be or not to be. And you may be thinking, Brother Horton, what in the world does that have to do with missions? Nothing. Except for one thing. If I may be so bold to use a play on words, today you will have the chance to be or not to be. And did you know that if a church chooses not to be, it's the same thing as committing suicide? A church that does not support missions is a church that's on its way to die. Amen. The only way a church survives is if it decides to do what God loves to do, and that is to win souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether it's here in Carlsbad or around the world, and you may be thinking, Brother Horton, you're in the wrong church, or have you forgotten? Look at all these missionaries that we have. No, I have not forgotten because my face is on one of them. I have not. But Do you know why you have a missions conference every year? Because you have to keep doing it. And there are always those new ones that are not involved that want to get involved. So therefore, you have to choose this year to be or not to be. And the decision that you make this morning will determine the future of the Landmark Baptist Church. Do you know how many churches my wife and I have seen around this country that were huge, wonderful, Bible-believing, preaching, missionary-sending churches that today are no longer in existence? Because they chose not to be servants of God any longer. They chose not to win souls anymore. My prayer is that you decide today to continue winning souls for Christ. And if you're not involved, to get involved. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts. I'm sorry, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read a text that is probably the most well-known text among missionaries. We will read this and we're going to talk about this a little bit, but then we're going to get into preaching. All right? My dad always said, John, you can talk, but a preacher preaches. That's right. And we are going to see how important it is that a church be involved. While you are turning there, I would like to read some scripture that is not here in 2 Corinthians. I would like to read a group of passages that I find are the most beautiful passages in the Bible, and you tell me what you think. All right? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but hath eternal life. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is the theme of the Word of God. Redemption. And folks, that's what we need to be involved in. That's what we need to be involved in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in reverence to the Word of God, if you wouldn't mind, let's stand. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us the fellowship, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Let's go to the Lord. Our most gracious Father in heaven, Lord, I can't do this without you. And Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to me and through me. And Lord, that the Word of God would fall upon good soil. That it would fall upon our hearts. That you would transform our lives, Lord. And that we would be willing to do what you want us to do. And that we would reach new heights for Jesus Christ this year. Not for our honor and glory, but for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will be careful to give you the honor and the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul here is writing to a church in Corinth. Now please understand this. That means he's writing to us. Because the Bible was written and left for us as well. And he's telling us about churches in Macedonia. Now, please understand, Macedonia was a part of Europe. All right? How do we know where Europe is? Yes, it was a part of Europe. And there were several cities there, but there were two main cities. One was Philippi, and the other one was Thessalonica. All right, and both of these churches were considered part of the churches of Macedonia. And Paul is writing them, and he's saying, in other words, he's saying this: hey, I want you to know about some churches that there are in Macedonia. These churches, let me tell you something, they are extremely poor. The Bible says in their deep poverty. Now, I would beg to say that none of us are in deep poverty. Probably none of us are rich either. But I'll guarantee you we're not in deep poverty. Besides the fact that they were being persecuted, and folks, we're not far from there, are we? They were in deep poverty. But their deep poverty and their joy abounded unto the riches of their liberality, which means they were a generous church. Now, can you explain that? Just humanly speaking, can you explain how that being poor and persecuted can add up to being happy and giving? Yeah. The only way that can happen is if God's involved. The only way that can happen is if they are doing what God wanted them to do. You need to understand this. There is no way this church can do what it needs to do and be happy without God being involved. God has to be involved. So Paul is telling this church about the churches in Corinth and how that they were sending a gift to the saints or to the church in Jerusalem that was suffering during this time. In other words, they were taking up offering so that the saints in Jerusalem could keep doing what they were doing. Now, the question I have for you is this. If God were to decide to write an epistle about you, what would he say? What would his remarks be about the church in Carlsbad? Well, he did about one of the churches in Macedonia. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Thessalonians. He wrote an epistle there, and I would like to show you three things that Paul made a remark about this church that should describe what missions means to the Landmark Baptist Church. Very important that you learn this. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He starts off right off the bat, remembering that this church was a church in Thessalonica. Now, please understand me. Sometimes we humans get this erroneous idea that the people in the Bible weren't not really people. They were superhumans. Okay, if you read the rest of Thessalonians, you'll find out that he was correcting errors also. Yeah. There is no such thing as a church that's perfect. And I'll tell you why. Because we are sinners saved by grace. We make mistakes. The important thing is we learn from those mistakes. Amen? And sometimes the mistake is not getting involved in missions. But that wasn't their mistake. Paul said some things about them that represented that church. And this is what I want you to see. All right. First of all, there were no perfect churches. They weren't superhumans. They were people that decided to serve God. All right. And he says here, read with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. He's remembering them. Excuse me. And he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of God and our Father. He says some things about them, excuse me, that I would like to present to you. All right. First of all, we need to understand that the work of God, the work of missions, is a work produced through faith.
Amen.
That's why he says, your work of faith. Three things about faith. And folks, we have heard sermons about faith. Let me tell you right off the bat, you're not going to hear anything new. Because that man is a man of God. And through the years, and he has taught you. But sometimes we need to be remembered, don't we? That's exactly right. And so I would like to remind you three things about faith. Number one, it's God's work.
Amen.
It is God's work. Missions, what you're seeing on the wall over there is God's idea.
Yeah.
It started in his heart when Adam fell. God promised to bring a redeemer.
Right.
And then he called Abraham.
Yeah.
He separated a nation to himself so that he could bring the Messiah through that nation. The Messiah is God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ our Lord. He separated that people and brought the Messiah. The Messiah was born of a virgin. That means the Messiah came from God. Do you understand that? Mary was a virgin. Now, folks, you'd be surprised how many Bibles are leaving that out. How many religions are leaving that out? You might think, oh, well, it's just a matter of words. Wrong. He was born of a virgin so that it had to be of God. Jesus came from God. Why is that so important? Because the Messiah is God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, came. He started his church, the First Baptist Church of the world. All right, this church was God's idea. And then he saved his first disciples. And then he commissioned them to go into all the world. Do you follow me? This is all God's doing. All right. He commissioned them, but then he said, whoa, I'm commissioning you, but I won't leave you alone.
That's right.
I'm going to come again in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, and he will speak of me.
Right.
That's why you can know if something's off, if they're saying the Holy Spirit is speaking of itself, because it doesn't do that.
Right.
The Holy Spirit of God points to Jesus Christ. Because he is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He's the one that saves people. All right? Jesus Christ died on the cross for the church and for the world. Do you still follow me? How much have we done so far? Zero. All right, after he died, he sent the Holy Spirit, sent the church into all the world, and the church goes into the world through the power of God. The work of saving, when these missionaries go, when you go into Carlsbad, the work of saving is God's work.
That's right.
All we do is preach the word. God saves. And then when the most beautiful part about God saving is that God transforms.
Amen.
We don't transform. If we try to, it's called reformation. God doesn't reform anybody. He transforms. From the inside out. Listen, people, it's God's work. Brother Horton, we understand that. Why are you saying that? Because it's so important that you understand this. Because you're not involved in some social gathering. This is not just something that somebody decided to do. This is God trying to save people.
Amen.
Trying to reconcile people to Himself. Now, how much love is that? We spat on Him. We rejected Him, and yet He loves you.
Yes.
He loves us so much that He died for us. And still, He wants to go out and save those that reject Him. You are involved in something greater than any church building, greater than anything this world has. Missions is a terminology that churches give to the Great Commission. The Great Commission is terminology that we use to when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Don't be afraid of the word missions. All that means is that we're supposed to do what God told us to do. Now, I ask you something. A church, is it this building?
No.
This church knows this. The church are the people that are called apart, baptized into one group, a local group. The church is the people. You know what that means to me? It means this, that if God sent the church into all the world, He sent you.
Yes.
And me. Now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road a little bit. That means if He called you, you, every member of this church, should be involved in missions. Because God sent you. Brother Horton, I can't go to Brazil. That's right, but you can go to Carlsbad. We all have to be involved. Folks, God knows what He's doing. Amen. Brother Joel's sermons were right on the dot. Do you want to know why? Yes, we have to give to missions so that missionaries can go. And that's what this Sunday's about. It is about you filling out that card so that this church can continue to reach into all the world, because it's our job. The Landmark Baptist Church has to go to Brazil. It cannot go, everybody, so it sends the John Horton family. But you are not going to be able to do that if your church is not here. And it won't be here for much longer if we don't keep winning souls to the Lord here in Carlsbad. The Lord used this conference. Has been one of the best I've seen in a long time, because He hit on both nails at the same time. Folks, us missionaries depend on your work in Brazil. And that on your work here in Carlsbad, so that we can do our work in Brazil. And that is God's work. Do you understand that? The second thing about faith is that it is impossible, please understand this, to please God without faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You know, I wrestled with that verse for many years when I was young. Because I kept wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean? It is impossible to please God without faith. It taught me that everything I do must be in faith.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Because a lot of what I do is not. Now you understand. If this church is going to please God, and folks, I don't know about you, but I want to please God, then first, I've got to act in faith. That means what you're going to do this morning has to be through faith.
Amen.
And faith is believing and not seeing. And we're going to learn more about that. The last thing about faith is that it is above your power.
Yes.
It is not what you can do. If it's what you can do, it's not in faith. And that's the problem with many Christians, is they do what they can do.
Right.
And you cannot. You have to do above what you can. Well, Brother Horton, that's just What's the English word? Stupid. Folks, you cannot calculate missions.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot. And see, that's where a lot of people err, is they get their calculator out and they say, now what can I give? Mm-hmm. That's the first mistake. The only thing you can give is tithe.
Yeah, that's right.
Tithe doesn't require faith. It requires obedience.
That's right.
Do you understand that? Tithe, anybody can go, well, but I don't make anything. Then your tithe of zero is zero. Tithe requires obedience. You cannot do anything else before you do that. But as far as missions, which is what today's about, it's got to be above you. That's where our text comes in. It says, look with me again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at what they said here. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. You know what that verse means? What that verse simply means is they were willing to give what they did not have.
That's right.
Folks, that is a perfect example of faith.
That's right.
What they said was, Paul, please take this mission gift. God will supply our needs.
Right.
That's what they were doing. Folks, that's what we have to do today. Now, there are many people that give what they can, but it's not in faith. And therefore, God will not bless you. If you want God to bless you, you have to be in faith. Folks, please understand that. I know Christians who come to church, they give, but they don't give in faith. And they're some of the people that are the most saddest people I know. Do you know why? Brother Horton, what are you trying to say? We shouldn't give? No, if you want to be happy, truly happy in your life, you have to give above you. You have to give in faith.
Yeah.
You know, folks, one of the bad things about being a missionary is that because the people that we have in Brazil are people that we won to the Lord ourselves, and they look at you like a mom and dad spiritually, almost, you can tell them like it is, and they will listen. And so missionaries sometimes come over here and they want to be harsh. Oh, boy, that missionary, I'll just get up and leave. Folks, listen. But one thing missionaries do is they preach it in love. And I'm telling you, if you want to do it right, you want God to be pleased with you, and you want this church to go up, you're going to have to give in faith. Remember that. Brother Horton, now what do you mean? We'll get there, okay? You have to give in faith. It's above yourself. But that's not the only thing he wrote about this church. Missions is not only a work produced through faith. It is a labor prompted by love.
Yes. Amen.
Folks, you can never reach people for the Lord unless you love them first.
Yes. That's right.
That's how come you care for your kids and grandkids, because you love them.
Right.
You know what love is? It's compassion in action. It's doing something. That's why it's no coincidence that Christ himself says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's why he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all, what we just talked about, faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing.
That's right.
Folks, if you want to give by faith, the first thing you're going to have to do is love missions. You have to love people. That's where a lot of Christians fall short. Folks, me also. I'm a tell you of a story that happened. In 2010, when I was in Brazil, I was in front of my house, to make a long story short, I was in front of my house waiting for my kids to get off, and two people came up on a motorcycle with guns, got off and pointed the .38 at my head and robbed me. And then they asked where my wife was. And luckily she wasn't there, or praise God she wasn't there with me. She was behind where they couldn't, she was behind our gate where they couldn't see her. When they took everything, you know, when people rob you, they violate you, and they make you feel violated. Well, do you know what that makes happen in you? Anger. Folks, when that happened, I found myself angry at him. And that transferred into an anger for the Brazilian people. Until the point that I had to get on my knees and beg forgiveness of God. Because I'm supposed to love them. Yeah. How do you think Jesus felt? Yeah. Folks, we are the only hope those people have. Yeah. If we don't love them, we'll never give so that they can hear the gospel. Many people don't give to missions because they frankly don't care. They don't care because they don't love. And the truth of the matter is, folks, the only way you can love is if first you love God.
Amen.
That's why the first and foremost commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Mm-hmm. And the second, because of that, is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One has to do with me and God. The other one has to do with me and man. And there's no way I can do this unless I love God first.
Right.
And folks, missions is all about love. Please understand that. It's not about this. Yay, we don't have to give money. Wrong. Missions uses this. But it's not going to help you unless you love God first.
That's right.
And you love the people you're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
God has given my wife and I a love for our people. Folks, if you lived where I live, please understand me. We love our people. But if you were to go to Belém without God calling you, you would not last. That place is wicked. The traffic is wicked. Do you understand? Oh, Brother Horton, we have traffic here in Carlsbad. It's wicked. The only reason we are there is because God gave us a love for them that surpasses everything else. Do you love Carlsbad? Do you love the people, even the wicked ones? If you don't, you need to renew your love to God. And when you love God, you'll say, Lord, whatever you need me to give, I'll give. Because you've taught me to love people. That's what missions is all about. It's a labor of love. That's why Paul said, your work of faith, because it's God's work in faith, but it's a labor of love. And there are times when we need to come down here and pray, Lord, I haven't loved you enough. And there are times, you know, I heard my dad. My dad is 76 years old. My dad is one of the best missionaries I know. And I've overheard him praying, Lord, teach me to love you. Because we need to love God. Because the more we love God, the more we love people. Remember that. Folks, if you love God, you'll have no problem being here in church on the services. No problem. Because I'll guarantee you one thing. I love my grandkids. My granddaughters. They are beautiful. I have to say, they're the most beautiful girls in the world. That's just because they're mine, you know. I'd go all over the whole world for them. If I love God, I'll go all over the whole world for Him.
Yeah.
It's a labor of love. Love God, love man. And the only way to love people is to know God. Remember that. You want to know God, please, please listen to what I'm about to say. Please, if you care about your church at all, listen to what I'm about to say. This man is an example of love. I don't know how many of you know this. I mean, I'm not from here, and I know that this man has shed blood and sweat and tears for missions. He has. More than you can ever know. This man here loves God. I can see it in him. He has plans that God has given him to teach God's word. If you want to love God more, you be here and learn. The only way you're going to love God more is through his book. Because this is a love book. It's God's love to man. Well, I read the Bible at home, and you should. But the way to learn it is through God's man. You remember that. That's why God gave the gift of a pastor to the church. So that he can teach you, we need to send missionaries into all the world. To tell them about God's love. It's a labor of love. And last of all, work of missions is an endurance inspired by hope.
Right.
Folks, I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's not a secret anymore. I lost all my hope in the government a long time ago. November 8th, everybody should vote, but I have no hope. Especially now. Folks, listen, I can tell you one thing because the Bible says this country's going down. Now, I hope God stays it a little bit longer. But this country's going down because our hope is not in the government. And this country forgot God years ago. And you know what the worst part about all of it? This is not what it is. This part here is free. We let it happen. Maybe it's time we say, Lord, no more. We will stand up for what you care about. We will send missionaries around the world, no matter what the government, because the day will come when they'll say, you cannot be in here anymore.
Yeah.
You cannot do this. You cannot do that. I'd rather obey God than man.
Right.
And we will send missionaries around the world till it costs me my life. And it might. You might think, well, martyrdom, that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore. Wrong. Look outside of the borders of this country and you'll see it. People die for the cause of Christ every day. And it's coming here. Do you know why? Do you know why, folks? Because God loves His world so much that He's bringing the mission field here. Because so many are not sending, He's bringing them here. With him comes Satan. He's mad. He's mad. The good thing is our hope is set. Is sure. I don't know what's going to happen 4 years from now, whether her or him. But I do know that my Bible tells me that Jesus is victorious. So everything I invest in him is for sure. We will win. So if you give by faith, and you love God and love people, we will win.
Amen.
You have to remember that. We will win. Because God loves the work He does. It's a work of faith It's a work that's prompted by love, inspired by hope. It is not based on what we do, but what Christ has already done. Listen to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. I'll read it. Paul is standing before a king, and he's telling this king what God has called him to do. Listen to it carefully. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 says, "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance." Now, I would imagine that most of you probably have the millions of dollars of inheritance from your parents, right? We do. Our inheritance is out of this world. Our inheritance, folks, is in heaven. The city that we're going to live in is streets of gold. Now, we have a hard time understanding because the Bible says that. But when we get there, and a child comes up and grabs your hand and says, "Do you know why I'm here? Because Landmark sent a missionary to my country." Yeah. At that moment, it will be worth it all. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter if you give $1 or $1,000. If you're giving in faith, what God wants you to give, it's the same thing to Him. Because money is not what saves people. Money gets the missionary to where they're going so God can save them. That's why it's so important that you be involved, not only for them, but for you. I want to be happy in heaven. And I want to hear Him say, "Well done, faithful servant." Therefore, I want to do what He wants me to do. That's why it's so important that you remember our hope is in heaven. And therefore, everything I do is based on that hope. Do you know why Paul died for the cause of Christ? Because he had that hope. The Bible is full, in Hebrews 11, full of examples of people that had that hope and gave their lives for Christ. Amen. Amen. And now is the chance for you to be or not to be. It's your choice. That's how much God loves you. Did you know that? He loves you so much that He's not going to make you do it. Right. He wants you to do it so that you can be happy. You know the difference between the United States Army, please listen, and the army of the majority of the countries around this world? Is that the United States Army loves this flag. This is the best flag in the world. In this world. They do it for love. And folks, when you learn... No, I'm looking for the Christian flag. When you love that flag... See, this one here, as much as I love it, it's based on either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. But that one there is based on Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, my faith in Him will carry me all the way through because it's based on hope. Don't lose your hope. I know, folks, this church has been through a struggle. I know that. But the important thing is you are here. And to God, numbers isn't what counts. He loves saving souls and wants to see this place full. But first and foremost, He wants you to love Him and serve Him. That's why He gives you the opportunity to be involved. And last of all, remember this one thing. our faith, our love, and our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why Paul says, I remember your work of faith, your labor of love, your endurance, your patience of hope that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, you know what that means? That the first thing you have to do is what's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is the first and foremost important about living in faith through love by hope is right here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, they gave. Not only not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to God.
Yeah.
Folks, do you really think, honestly, look at me here, that the creator of this world, the creator of all the gold and silver and platinum and diamonds and rubies and all the other precious stones and minerals, needs my dollars? No, he doesn't. What he wants is you, so that he can use this to send missionaries. See, that's where money comes in. When you give, you're not doing God a favor. You are not. Because, listen, as much as you don't want to hear this, I'm going to tell you like it is. If this church, and I know this church won't, because I know you, but if this church were to decide, we're not giving to missions any longer, Brother Horton, get out of here, God would still get us there.
Yeah.
This bidding wouldn't be through the Landmark Baptist, because God is faithful.
Amen.
You give so that God can bless you.
Yes.
So that you can be faithful to God and be useful as a church to God. Folks, that's what it's all about. So therefore, what God wants from you is not your money first. He wants you to get this thing, and he wants you to stand in it and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. You created me, and therefore, I belong to you. But because you love me, you purchased me with your blood. I belong to you twice. So, Lord, I don't know what I can do. Some of you may not even have a job. But what you can do is say, Lord, whatever you can use of me, here I am. Use me.
Yes.
And I'll guarantee you he will. So that tells me, that he gave you a job, not only to supply your needs, but so that you can give.
Amen.
That's why we have jobs, so that we can be a blessing to others. So I'm going to let you on a little secret. This has nothing to do with, I know some people think, missionaries, yeah, it's easy for you to say you're on the receiving end. Let me tell you a little secret. Call my church and find out if we are not heavily involved in the same thing you're doing here.
Amen.
We are. We are. Because I have a church just like you are here. We all have the responsibility to give, pray, and go. That's what it's all about. So I ask you, in closing, to be or not to be? Lord, help me place on here what you want me to give. I know that I can give this amount, but I want to give above because I belong to you and I trust you. You will supply all my needs. So show me what you want me to put on here so that I can be used of you.
Amen.
You know something? I say this with all love. Okay, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But shame on the Christian that doesn't want to be involved in winning souls for Christ. Because Christ saved you. The least we can do, is help others to be saved. Folks, that's what this week's about. It's not about giving gifts to missionaries. It's not about having missionaries here so you can give an offering to them, feeding them. All that is great. But it's about getting the gospel out. That's what it's about. So to be or not to be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And right now is the moment for you to pray. And it just might be that you need to change the number on your card. I would rather do that than to not give in faith. Get involved and give by faith. Let's go to the Lord honestly and pray. Lord, speak to my heart. Our most gracious Father in heaven. Father, words do not suffice, but thank you so much for what you did on the cross of Calvary for us. Your shed blood and your suffering and dying that I might have life. Father, I want to be used of you. I want to be involved so that others can know about Jesus. I want to be involved by faith so I can see you doing it through me. And Lord, I want to do it in love because I love you and I want to love people. Please help me to love people and to love you more because it's based on the hope that I have in you, Father. So please help me to be involved. Help every person here to be involved and to give according to what you want us to give. And that we may see Jesus Christ honored and glorified here this morning. We ask you these things because we love you and we want to serve you. And we ask you in faith and in thanksgiving. Amen, Pastor.
Stand together. While the piano plays, maybe you'd like to come. There may be somebody here. Truth of the matter is, you're not even sure if you died you'd go to heaven. We'd like to let you know that the Bible says that you can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And you can know today before you leave this building that you're on your way to heaven simply because you've done what God said to do, to know that you're going to go there. But this is a Faith Promise Missions Conference, and maybe you'd like to come and just spend a few minutes and say, God, what would you have me to do? How could I get involved? What would you give me the privilege of giving for missions this year? Maybe you'd like to come and just talk to the Lord for a few minutes. We'd love to have you come. While we wait, you come.